Welcome to the Gregory Neesner Show, a place where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs and my people, and even a shout out to the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. You made it to the right place if, and that's if, and only if, you want to take some politics, take some culture, take some personal development, put it in a blender, mix it all up, and get a special delivery of underdog stuff. What we do here is we cover the uns, the unbelievable, the unavoidable, the uninhibited, the underrated, the unjust, the unsaid. You get it by now, underdog stuff. And just as a disclaimer, especially if you're new to the program, this ain't CNN. This ain't Fox News. This ain't the New York Times. And not that there's anything wrong with any of those places and publications and networks, but they cover the news. And to various degrees of success, they cover the news. And they commentate about it. But here at the Gregory Neesner Show, we get personal about it. And as always, to take you on that journey, you have your host. That would be me, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, business consultant, leadership coach. It's a bunch of other things I could throw out there. But in the end, my whole thing is really just wanting to spread special stuff and fight for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world. With that, there's a couple things that's been on my mind this week. Security clearances. Some people got them. Some people don't. Some people got downgraded this week. Kushner. Women have been on my mind this week. It's Women's History Month. It's March. We're going to talk about it. And CEOs have been on my mind too. Because I'm an aspiring one. And because, well, I won't spoil it. There's some other reasons I want to talk about CEOs, and I'll get into that too. And hopefully, by the time we're done this journey, it'll all make sense how somehow we covered security clearances, women, and CEOs all in one episode. The 62nd episode, actually, of the Gregory Neesner Show. First of all, though, March is a month where I know we celebrate the contributions that women have made in history and culture in our society here in America in the month of March. But before we get into acknowledging women, both from the past and from the present, I can't go any further without acknowledging the women who have been a big deal in my personal life. And like most of you, it's the same for me. It starts with my mom. Shout out to Hallie Nee Smith. My mom, my angel, just the most special woman that I know, and someone that I just love. And whenever there's an opportunity to celebrate her, I love to do that. And so shout out to my mom, and I wouldn't be here without her. And of course, shout out to my dad. Love them both. And at some point in the show, I think I'm going to share some sayings or some quotes that my mom taught me as I was growing up. And I'll share some of those with you, because she not only comes with a lot of love, but a lot of intellect and a lot of wisdom. And throughout the show, underdogs, if you have a favorite saying that you've learned from your mother or from other women in your life, please share them. Either call in at 212-650-6903 and share some of your favorite words of wisdom or quotes that you've received from women in your life, or on the Facebook Live, leave that as a comment and I will read it on the air. I have a few from my mother and some special women in my life that have helped me navigate this thing called life. With that, some things we won't be talking about on today's show during the beginning and the unavoidable news segment. Some of the things we will not be talking about include things like this.
And we have to create a culture that cherishes life and human dignity. Or might take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times, by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Take the guns first.
But it's something that can be done. There's no reason for this. But again, I really believe that those people, it's idealistic, it's wonderful, it's a beautiful thing. But if you think that somebody's going to be able to walk into a school, if they feel that they're not going to have bullets coming at them from the other direction, you're never going to solve the problem. I feel that. I feel that. But I'm certainly open to suggestions.
All right, now that I've gotten that out of my system, I am not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to talk Trump today. I'm not in the mood. Hopefully, you're okay with us taking a Trump break this week. But I'm sure he'll do something to get back in the news, back in the culture, and something that we can get personal about. But we can talk about some family drama going on at the White House as we get into some of the unavoidable news. Anybody here, what's been up with Jared, Mr. He Can Do It All Kushner? Special advisor to the president, also known as his son-in-law and married to Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump. What seems this week, something happened to Jared, and it went a little something like this.
What about the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose security clearance, top secret clearance, he lost it this week. And at the same time, there are questions about his business relationships. Mm-hmm. And there are rumors of him fighting with Mr. Kelly as well. Is he at risk?
These are certainly dark days, I think, for the presidential son-in-law. It's been a rough week. He's lost his top secret clearance. He's in the crosshairs of special counsel Bob Mueller and the Russia investigation. He's millions of dollars in debt. We've learned that foreign governments are looking at ways to potentially manipulate him as a result of his complex business dealings with his family. His status, I think, is probably more tenuous than it's been. But again, family members have a special place in the president's orbit. I suspect if he wants to stick around, he'll find a way.
That was a bit of news about Jared Kushner. But one of the things I love about doing a live show is that I can come in with a game plan, and then all of a sudden life happens, comments happen, people show up on the phone lines or in the Facebook Live. So I do want to give a quick shout out to my man Salim, who I just saw check in on the Facebook Live. And he says, G-Money, how did a Philly boy become the voice of Harlem, my man? Shout out to Salim, and we went to college together. And by the way, you should follow Salim on Facebook because he is one of the great follows on social media. Always makes me think, makes me laugh, and just sometimes I'm like, Salim, do you have a writer who's putting all this great content and material together? And then also, I said at the start of the show, we're going to be shouting out women throughout the program. And for me, that has to start with the most important woman that I want to celebrate in this society and culture is my mom. And I said throughout the show, I'd be sharing different sayings and quotes or words of wisdom that I've gotten from women in my life or specifically from my mom. And I said, hey, underdogs out there, share yours too. Share them on the Facebook Live, call in and share them. And Salim shared one of the quotes and words of wisdom that he got from his mom is, don't be sorry, be careful. And that was from Celine's mom. And the words of wisdom were, don't be sorry, be careful. Hey, I ain't mad at that. It's always good to be careful out here as opposed to doing something crazy. Reminds me of that saying that one of my friends used to tell me is that you never want to have something happen and someone goes, that can't be. That can't be the story. You got to tell me that you wasn't that stupid. You didn't do that. Can't be. So I ain't mad at you. Shout out to Salim and his mom's words of wisdom. Don't be sorry. Be careful. And shout out to Karen, who says hello, Gregory. And I say hello back to you, Karen. Thanks for checking on in. And I think we have a phone call. We'll get to the phone lines. It's a live show. And sometimes we go where the energy is and... yeah, share your quotes with me. I love hearing some words of wisdom. Actually, we're going to get to Jared Kushner in a second because, as you know here, I don't just want to talk about Jared Kushner. I want to talk about what this news and security clearances and things like that mean for us what it means for us personally, because we get personal about the news and the culture. Because guess what? Some of y'all out here worrying about Jared Kushner getting downgraded with his security clearance, and some of y'all need to figure out who in your life needs to get downgraded with their security clearance with top secret information and access to you. Yeah, I said it. Let that sit, marinate for a second before we get back to Jared Kushner, because what we're really going to do is get back to you. And we're going to get back to me, too, because I get to think about who am I giving top secret security clearance to that they need to be downgraded? All right, a quote, one of the quotes, words of wisdom I got from my mom. One of them was, and this one, I'll never forget when my mom said this to me. I was just like, man, that's gangster. That's old school. So let me give some backdrop to the story that then leads into the words of wisdom that my mom gave me. There was this woman that I dated in high school, even went on the prom with, that I think my mom could tell, like, I was really, like, had a big crush on her, really liked her, like, you know, just, And college went by, some years went by, and we, you know, lost touch, weren't that close anymore, but I think my mom really, really knew that, really, really liked her. And so I told my mom, one day my mom goes, hey, what's up with such and such? We'll call her K, because I don't want to say her name, but she said, what's up with K? And I said, oh, you know, I saw K the other day. Now, mind you, I'm in my 20s now. And I said, yeah, I think K has a boyfriend or something like that. So, you know, no, I don't really have a shot. It's, you know, it's over. She's with somebody right now. And then my mom, in her most calm voice, says to me, son, everybody's just playing house and messing around until there's a ring involved. If you want that woman, you go get her. And I pause. And I'm like, you telling me to go break up a happy home? A boyfriend and girlfriend relationship? And she's like, it's all play. Until there's a ring and some marriage involved. Go get what you want if you want it. But she said, only go if you really mean business. Don't be going for your ego or to prove something. Go to get her if that's the woman you love. And so that's one of the words of wisdom my mom said. Now, I don't know if I fully endorse all parts of that, but I think the spirit of it was that it's all a little bit touch and go. Until there's a serious commitment. And to my mom, serious commitment meant that there was a marriage involved. And then also the spirit of what I got from what my mom said was, you know, if you really, really want something and your intentions are right or pure, go make it happen and see what the deal is. Because that guy may like the girl, but he ain't asked her to marry her yet. So go get it. So that's one of the words of wisdom, which I'm just like, I guess old school words of wisdom that I got from my mom. What's some words of wisdom you got from your mom? I'm sure your mom or your women in your life have told you some stuff where you're just like, made you think. It might have changed your life. That's just one of the words of wisdom from my mom. Another one was this idea of never say you know how she feels. Never say that you know how she feels, meaning, don't ever speak on behalf or guess or infer or for me to think that I can read the mind of how a woman felt about something, especially if we've been dating or how I thought a conversation went. Unless I've asked that woman how she feels, then I don't get to like guess and speculate. That was another good one I learned from my mom that has come in handy over the years. But I digress. Let me take a quick break. We will get to the phone lines. We will read some of the Facebook Live comments. And we still got to talk about Jared Kushner. And not because I want to talk about Jared Kushner and security clearances, but because I want to make it personal. He got his security clearance downgraded because he's potentially got some conflicts of interest and got some shady stuff that the FBI is still investigating. Who in your life has top secret access to you, and they should be downgraded. I can't be the only one that's thinking through this question and figuring out there's some people in my life I might need to downgrade their access that they have to me in my life. I can't be the only one. Underdogs, help me out. We'll get to the phone lines. We'll get to the Facebook comments all after this quick, and I mean quick, quick break. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Today, I'm in the mood to talk security clearances, women, and CEOs. I know it sounds like a weird mix of topics, but stick with me. I'll explain it all. It'll all make sense by the time we get to the end of the show. Shout out to the folks who have been very active on the online comments. Shout out to Karen, who says, spring is coming. Time to clean house. And I think that's in reference to the story that I'm about to get into about Jared Kushner and security clearances and who should have access to what and to who and to you. Shout out to Daryl, who checks in, who says Kushner will not lose his battle to Kelly, who is the chief of staff at the White House, to Donald Trump. Basically, Daryl's saying that Kushner's going to keep his access to the president, keep his job as special advisor, because Daryl believes that Trump thinks that family is bigger than country. And he, Daryl, you might be right. Shout out to Daryl. Shout out to the 215, my hometown of Philly, checking in the 212 up here in New York. All right, let's get into Jared, and then we'll go from there. But first, let me go to the phone line. Name, where you calling from?
Barry from Mount Vernon.
Barry, do you have a saying, a words of wisdom that you got either from your mother or from a woman in your life that you'd like to share with the underdogs out there?
I got plenty. But you know what? I really was more interested in Olympic victims of rape.
Yep. And then, but Barry, we'll call back in the second hour so we can get to that. I'm going to finish up this.
Well,
talk.
Okay. What I really would like to, for you to do is, it's serious, because they was young. They was babies at the time.
Yes.
They was not 20-year-old time when they was victimized like that. And now I would love to support them. These are women now. They're not babies. They're women now, and they need real acknowledgement for what they're going through.
Yep. No, and I appreciate that. And actually,
the airwaves, to touch it, and you have the energy and the youthism.
No, I appreciate that. And actually, one of the women today, as I do some shout-outs later in the show for Women's History Month, is going to be Tarana Burke, who was actually the African-American woman who's been an activist and since the early 2000s has been a part of actually kicking off the Me Too movement and making sure that women no longer have to go through some of the sexual misconduct assaults and things that they've gone through. So I'm actually going to come back to that topic. And yeah, Barry, you must be reading my mind. How do you know I'm going to go there?
No. This is the vibrations that's in the atmosphere, brother. This is beyond us. I would take her a little more serious when I hear her walk and talk shoulder to shoulder with Tawana Brawley.
And I hear you. And so we're going to get into that as the show rolls on. And March is Women's History Month, so we ain't done.
You said you're going to have her on the show?
No, I'm going to talk about her later. Acknowledge her. But I'm saying that
the
month of March, so you know how I roll. We won't just talk about Women's History Month this week. It's going to be throughout the whole month. Gotcha, Barry. Yeah. And you have spoken, and I'm glad that you brought that up. And we're going to get to that topic, not just today, but throughout the month. And I'm sure going forward.
You the man.
All right, now, I appreciate you for calling in.
Love that energy, brother.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. And that was Barry from Money Earning Mount Vernon. Shout out to Deborah, who called during the break. Longtime listener, someone I appreciate her energy and her insight. And as she comes along on this journey every week, or as often as she can, and I appreciate it, Deborah from Manhattan. And shout out to all the folks who checked in on the Facebook Live. Karen, Celine, Daryl, my people, appreciate you. Today, we're talking about women, we're talking about security clearances, we're talking about CEOs, and we're also talking about words of wisdom that you have received from your mother or other women in your life that's helped you along. I've had a few good ones from my mother and definitely other women in my life. And I know you have too. So please don't be shy. Share. Sharing is caring. All right. Family drama at the White House. So what's up with Jared Kushner? This is what's been up with Jared.
What about the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose security clearance, top secret clearance, he lost it this week. And at the same time, there are questions about his business relationships. Yeah. And there are rumors of him fighting with Mr. Kelly as well. Is he at risk?
These are certainly dark days, I think, for the presidential son-in-law. It's been a rough week. He's lost his top secret clearance. He's in the crosshairs of special counsel Bob Mueller and the Russia investigation. He's millions of dollars in debt. We've learned that foreign governments are looking at ways to potentially manipulate him as a result of his complex business dealings with his family. His status, I think, is probably more tenuous than it's been. But again, family members have a special place in the president's orbit. I suspect if he wants to stick around, he'll find a way.
And that was an update on Jared Kushner, who, as of this week, his security clearance dropped from top secret to secret. And according to a White House press secretary, he will continue to do important work, quote unquote, that he's been doing since he started. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Jared Kushner is literally on every single project there is in the White House. Middle East peace, infrastructure, technology at the White House, just doing the most. And it seems that Jared, who doesn't really have a background in politics, because he's the son-in-law to Donald Trump, has inherited this massive responsibility and one of the closest advisors to Donald. And now he's basically knocked down to not being able to have access to all that's going on. And the word is because there's some different conflicts of interest that are going on between Jared Kushner and some of the activity that he's been doing in the private sector. The Washington Post has reported that several foreign governments have aimed to manipulate Kushner. And so there's been a lot of stuff going on. And I just, and so that's been what the Washington Post has reported. And the New York Times has reported that there are two companies that have given loans to Kushner's business after meeting with him in the White House. That sounds like that's a bit shady. And also there's been ties to a bunch of financial institutions to Jared Kushner's business deals that are under investigation. Well, it seems odd to me that someone who would have that much stuff going on could go over a year getting access to some of the most important information there is to our country and our safety. And at the same time, he could have been putting us in jeopardy through his business dealings, things that could have led to blackmail. It just seems reckless. But as Daryl said earlier, shout out to Daryl from my hometown of Philly, it seems that Trump is, at least in this case from the outside looking in, choosing family over competence, or family over safety, or family over country. Now, I would get on Jared Kushner and Donald Trump and the FBI. I mean, I could start throwing some stones. But then I'm reminded that I live in a glass house. And that maybe I shouldn't. Because we could talk about Jared. We could letting somebody do the most that seems unqualified to be doing most of the things that he's doing. We could talk about giving top security clearance to someone who seems to have some shady stuff going on. We could. But I want to talk about, who are you giving top secret security clearance to in your life that's doing the most but not qualified, that's got some shady things going on that could maybe get you all messed up, but you choosing quote-unquote family or past or history over your own security, over your own safety, over your own family's peace. Because as I thought about this story, I'm like, dang, there's some people that maybe I should be downgrading the access they have to me. Because Donald Trump ain't the only person making some bad decisions and keeping some people in their life, maybe even too close to them than they should. Let me know, am I the only one? Maybe it's just me. Maybe just Donald Trump and Gregory Neesmith are the only two people who've been giving people access in their life that they probably shouldn't. Maybe it's just us two. I never thought I'd say a sentence, just Donald and I. Who you downgrading? There's got to be somebody in your life that maybe has too much access to you. They got some conflicts of interest, and they get to be downgraded just like Jared, from top secret to secret, or from top secret to nothing. Let me know. Or you can go to the Facebook Live and comment. And I don't, and let me preface that, because I'm not saying don't give me names. I want you to put your business out in the street. Don't say like Mary Lou John is the person that needs to be downgraded because she does this and does that. Like, don't do that. But you can just do a simple like, yes, I have someone or somebody that I'm going to take a look at who and what, why, where, how I interact with them. I'm going to share with you some of the things I've been thinking about as I think about this question, like who should I downgrade from top secret? Who should have less access to me and my business and my family and my friends? And I started to put together a list of like, what are some of the things I'm going to think about as to who is, you know, kind of like a Jared in my life, that there's somebody I know and we're close. We got past relationships, but for what I'm doing now, what I'm doing going forward, they get to get their clearance downgraded. So I started to think of a list of ways I'll know who should stay, who should go, who should get downgraded and so forth. And I'm going to share that list and you can share yours too. Oh my goodness. I'm laughing literally out loud as I read some of the comments that I was checking out. Let me read a couple of them. First, shout out to Ms. Martinez, who says, hello, Mr. Unstoppable. And I love the fact that she calls me Mr. Unstoppable because you guys know I love unwords. Underdog stuff, unbelievable, unavoidable, uninhibited, unconventional, underrated, unjust. And so I love that she's giving me the nickname that starts with an un. And I definitely am doing my best to be unstoppable, especially when it comes to spreading special stuff and fighting for underdogs to rediscover how special we are in the world. And a couple comments related to Mr. Jared doing the most Kushner. Salim says, Kushner and this administration are about as reckless as Wilder was last night against Luis Ortiz. Laugh out loud. Using a little sports reference to make some political commentary. I'm not mad at that. And Daryl says, seeing how POTUS has run things in his first year, my guess is Jared becomes chief of staff in the next couple of weeks. Daryl, that ain't happening. Stop it. I don't even want to entertain the thought that that's not happening. I mean, it could. I mean, anything's possible with Trump, but I don't think it's happening. And Salim also says, all personal clearances gotta be revisited on an annual basis. Ex-girlfriends gotta lose their clearances for my peace of mind. Hey, I love that. So what Salim said, and then also Karen said this earlier, Karen says it's wintertime, it's time to clean house so you can get ready for the spring. Salim mentions this idea of annual clearance checks. I like that. Who else does annual clearance checks? Because I think that's right. Just because something worked last year doesn't mean it's going to work this year. And we get to revisit. We get to recommit. And I always believe this. You can love someone from a distance. You can love someone close up, and you can love someone very, 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 very close up. And just because you choose to create some space and distance, you can still do that with honor, with grace, bow out, move on, and still have love for that person. And as Salim says, oftentimes that helps us keep our own peace. And also one more comment on the Facebook Live. Salim says, mushy cushy is a mess. Salim, I can't curse on the air. Now you got me reading and editing and censoring on the fly here. He says that basically Kushner is a mess. Millions and billions in loans being exchanged as a presidential advisor. And let's not get into the possible insider trading situation after the discussion about tariffs on steel and aluminum. Clarence has got to go. Forget downgrade. Salim says Jared Kushner needs to be security clearance rescinded. And I'm assuming he also means that Jared just got to go. And sometimes in our life, people just got to go. Miss Martinez says she has some people she knows that she wants to let go too. All right, so I said I was going to share some ways that I look at who should get downgraded or not. And in the moment, we're going to pick up on what Salim said, and maybe this will be an annual thing I do in terms of trying to figure out who should get downgraded with their security clearance with my life. Who should get downgraded with their security clearance with your life? Because we can talk about Jared, but that ain't fun. We'll talk about you. We'll talk about me. We'll talk about us. Because this ain't CNN or Fox News. They cover the news. They commentate about it, but we get personal about it. All right. Top five ways that I figure out whether or not someone should be downgraded. This first one is for when I'm at work. People who I work with that I complain to. But if I stop and think about it, if I'm complaining to someone at my job that can't change the situation that I'm complaining about, I need to stop telling them my business. Because complaining to someone who can't change something at my place of employment is almost like gossiping. So if I tell one of my peers that I hate my boss does this, my boss does that, they do this, my boss is terrible, boss this, boss that, my peer can't do nothing about that. Now, if I was telling the human resource team, HR team, or if I was talking to my boss's boss during 360 feedback, or when asked to rate what's working and what's not working about my boss, that's different. That's not complaining. That's giving feedback to people that can help change your situation. So if there's people that you constantly complain to at your job that can't do anything about what you're complaining about, they need to lose their top secret clearance. They should get less access to your business and what's going on in your life, and especially at work. That's one. Another way I look at who should get downgraded or not is if there's somebody that I talk to a lot, and when I talk to them, they always talking about other people and talking bad about them. Because if they talking bad a lot about other people when they're around you, they're probably talking bad about you when you ain't around them. Downgrade. Number three, stop telling people your business. And I'll put I'm going to stop telling people my business that ain't doing or done the stuff that I'm trying to figure out. And what do I mean by that? I'll use a example. Let's say I'm planning a trip to Italy. I'm not going to talk to people about my trip to Italy and get advice about what to do and how to go there if that person hasn't been to Italy. And at times, I've been given top secret access and wanting to get counsel from people who've never been to Italy. You know what I mean. Like, not necessarily talking to people about Italy, but it's an example. I hope you follow. It's an example. But, you know, you're talking to people, getting counsel, giving them top secret access to you and your business, asking them questions about what they would do, and they've never done it. Downgrade. Another situation. I don't know about you, but I know some folks that aren't always above board. They may be into some illegal activities here and there. You know, we all got some friends, some family that you might call in a tough situation. They might handle things a little differently than others. Sometimes things get out of hand and it might be nice to have some reinforcements. But if you got some of those people in your life that are mixed up in some illegal activities or can rough some people up for you here and there, I'm not saying get rid of them. Because, you know, I'm I haven't gotten rid of all of them. But get rid of the ones who are messy. Get rid of the friends who are mixed up in some stuff and they're sloppy. Because that sloppiness could impact you and your safety. If you know someone who's selling some stuff they shouldn't be selling, but they always do it discreetly and in other places. All right, I get it. But they start bringing that stuff to your doorstep, to your home, where you live, around your kids, stuff like that. They got to go. Downgrade. And lastly, one of the ways I figure out whether or not someone's security clearance in my own life should be downgraded or not is if I haven't finished the background check. Which, oh, by the way, they didn't finish the background check on Jared Kushner, yet they gave him all the access. Downgrade. I should finish my background check. I should, like, look up their social media. I should talk to a couple of their friends. I should get some references. I shouldn't give a lot of access to someone that I haven't done my own due diligence and background check of. Or else I'll end up like Trump and Jared Kushner, where I'm potentially mixed up in a lot of nonsense just because I rush to give access before I was done a background check. So that's how I try to figure out whether or not someone should be downgraded or not in my life. One is only complaining to people who can change my situation. Number two, stop talking to people who talk about other people a lot, because pretty soon they'll be talking about me. To stop giving information and getting counsel from people who haven't done what I'm doing or aren't doing what I'm doing. Let go of people who are mixed up in shady business, but not so much that as much as they're sloppy, they're messy. And that messiness could end up messing me up. And then lastly, I get to like stop being overly trusting and giving access to people who I'm not done with their background checks yet. That's just being responsible on my end. Let me know how you choose to upgrade or downgrade someone's security clearance with you. I think Salim mentioned on the Facebook Live that for him, his litmus test can be one of peace of mind. And so if someone is at odds with his peace of mind, then it sounds like he may go downgrade. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and I'll even give a shout out to the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally found the show. I appreciate you all. And you know what we like to do here every week? We take politics, we take culture, we take personal development, we put it in a blender, mix it all up, and then spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. Shout out to the 215, the city of brotherly love, my hometown. I see Lenny checking in. I see Daryl checking in. Mansfield, Linwood, Mount Airy, we in the building. And Lenny says, what up, big dog? That Kushner is as crooked as Lincoln Drive, big dog. And yo, for folks who don't know, Lincoln Drive is a very windy, slippery road. And I would agree, Lynn, that Jared Kushner is also a very winding and slippery individual, it seems, with all the stuff he's mixed up in. Appreciate you, man. It's good to see you here on the check-in. And a few other comments. Miss Martinez saying, so true. And hopefully I think she's referring to some of the ways that I and hopefully you figure out how you upgrade or downgrade someone's access that they have to your life. Because to me, Jared Kushner's news, it's cool and all, we can talk about it, but I'm more into like, what am I going to do with my security clearances for the people in my life? What are you going to do with the security clearances for people in your life? Who's getting upgraded and who's getting downgraded? Because I bet you there's some people in your life that their access to you should be downgrade. And also a comment says, always remember people come into everyone's life for a reason. Some are supposed to stay. Some come in your life for a short time. That's true. You know, everybody has a reason and a season, and some are longer than others. And I appreciate Madeline, Ms. Martinez sharing that as a reminder. All right, where do I want to go next? I think we've talked clearances. Let's talk women. It's Women's History Month. You ever hear somebody say or question, how hard is it to be a woman? Now, most of the time that's men saying that. I don't think women say this, but I've, you know, heard people say, is it really that hard to be a woman? How hard is it? I struggle too. We all struggle. I don't think women's struggles are any harder than anybody else's. How hard is it to be a woman? You ever heard somebody say something like that? I know I have. And have you ever messed up, made a mistake with a friend, a coworker, or a loved one? I know there's been times in my career where I missed a deadline or I did something to make a loved one very angry. And I felt like one of the ways that I could make it up to them was to do something for them, give them a gift, sometimes over gift. And what I mean by over gift is if I normally give somebody a $10 gift card at work at the annual holiday party, if I really messed up earlier that year, messed up with one of their promotions, some paperwork, missed a deadline for a project, I'm like, instead of the $10 Starbucks gift card, I'm going to give them a $100 one. I'm over gift. I'm going to make up something I did for a mistake I made, for me making it hard on that person, that loved one, that coworker, or, you know, if I made it hard on my romantic interest. I'll never forget, I'm a big basketball fan, and I remember watching the Lakers in the early 2000s, Shaq and Kobe. Kobe Bryant, they nicknamed him the Black Mamba. They say he's like the second, or he's like the next closest thing to Michael Jordan, who most people believe is the greatest basketball player to ever play basketball. And I remember, the story very clearly, but him and his wife got into something, and I think potentially they were going to break up. There might have been some infidelity involved. It was looking bad. And I think the news story was that they ended up working it out and that they were going to stay together. And he got her this gift. I want to say it was like an 8-carat diamond ring or something like that. And, you know, that's a different magnitude of my $10 gift card being a $100 gift card. But I get it, right? Someone makes a mistake. They try to overgift. They try to make up for it because they're like, oh, I made it real bad for you. And I want to give you something to show you that I'm sorry. And because I made it so hard for you. And I'm going somewhere. This is all related to how I just kicked this off, which is, have you ever met someone? They're like, how hard is it to be a woman? Is it really that hard to be a woman? It ain't that hard. Why? It's not. How hard could it be? It's hard for me too. People out there like that. And in our society, we recognize that it's hard to be certain people, be in certain groups, have certain backgrounds. And so we have celebrations, rituals. We have days or weeks or months to celebrate folks that we feel like this country, this society has made it hard for them. And so we want to celebrate them. Think about it. National Siblings Day. Because it's hard being a middle child. It's hard being the one boy and there's five girls in the family, or one girl and there's five boys, or, you know, it's tough being siblings. Got to share stuff with them. If you're the youngest, or if you're the oldest, you might have to take care of all the younger ones. Like, you know, so we recognize it's hard to be a sibling, so we have a day, National Sibling Day. President, POTUS Day, which was only a few weeks ago. Now, I would think it's a hard job being the president, but they only get one day. So maybe it's not that hard. I mean, they only do it for 48 years, and then the rest of their life they got a pension, they got an income, they got, you know, Secret Service. Life's pretty good. Like, work hard for 4 or 8 years and then smooth sailing from then on out. So we only give them a day. So it can't be, you know, how hard could it be to be president? They only get a day to celebrate. But then there's some groups where we're like, yo, it's hard for them. And so that $10 Starbucks gift card is like, you know, I made it so hard for them. I gave them a $100 gift card. Or like Kobe's like, you know, I made it so hard for you. Let me give you this 8-carat ring. So in society, sometimes we look and we go, oh, I've made it real, real hard. So I got to make sure we celebrate them for longer than just a day. So then there's Black History Month. There was slavery. There was Jim Crow and a whole bunch of other stuff. And we're only 12%, 13% black folks of the population. So I get it. They're like, we've made it hard on black folks. We got to give more than a day. We give them a month. Foster care month. Foster care kids. once again, small portion of the population, but it's tough not growing up with your parents. So it's like, you know what? We're going to give them a month. A day, a week wouldn't be enough because it's hard. So then think about how hard it must be to be a woman, or how much as a society we think holistically that we've made it hard on women, or the mistakes we've made with how we treat women, interact with them, that we're like, yo, we got to celebrate them for a month. Whole month. Half of the population, think about it. Half of the population, we think that it's so hard to be a woman that we're like, no, we, Women's Day, nah, that ain't enough. Women's Week, nah, no, we got to at least celebrate women for a month because we've done made it hard here for women. So just let that sink in for a second. For those who are like, oh, that hard being a woman, it must be very hard being a woman. So hard that we think that we should celebrate an entire month for literally half of the population. And for those of you who think I'm making a crazy analogy here, how many people have been thinking there should be a month for men celebrating the contributions to society and culture for men, the men's month? You know why you don't think there should be a men's month? Because you don't think it's as hard being a man as it is to be a woman. Maybe we'll get a men's day. But I think when it comes to some of the sexual assaults and just overall violence towards women that women here have to navigate, and Barry, who called earlier, mentioned what was going on with the young ladies, some of them teenage girls at the time who were part of the Olympics and the sexual misconduct that was happening there. Whether it's fair wages for the work that women put in. I mean, the list could go on and on about the challenges that it is to be a woman here in America and around the world. And so the next time someone goes, is it hard to be a woman? What are they talking about? What are they complaining about? Think about it. We don't overgift. We don't celebrate or acknowledge or try to make up for things that we don't think there's been a wrong. And there's a reason why there's a Black History Month. There's a reason why there's a Women's History Month. And there's likely a reason why there isn't a Men's History Month. With that, it is March. And Women's History Month is a celebration of the contributions to history, culture, and society that women have made. It's been celebrated throughout the month of March since 1987. So relatively young month-long celebration. In 1978, the school district of Sonoma, California organized a week-long celebration of women's contributions to culture, history, and society. And that is really the beginnings of what we now call Women's History Month. In the years that followed, other communities, organizations, and school districts throughout the country started celebrating Women's History Week as well. And then in 1980, President Jimmy Carter declared the week of March 8th as National Women's History Week. The year after that, Congress passed a resolution establishing a national celebration. And then 6 years later, in 1987, the National Women's History Project petitioned Congress to expand the event to the entire month. And we now have Women's History Month, which is roughly 92,003, basically 31 years old as a national month-long holiday. You know, one of my beliefs is, as underdogs, it is awesome for us to know our history and understand it, but I also don't want us to lose the moment that there's people doing things right now in our life that we get to acknowledge now and not wait until they're gone. So we're going to give some Women's History Month shout outs today. I said we're going to talk three things: security clearances, women, and CEOs. We're now in the second part of that, and somehow I'll bring CEOs in this and it'll all make sense somehow, some way. But let me go to some of the Facebook Live comments. Madeline says, maybe there should be a Men's History Month. She says, I do, because you do have a lot of good men out there as well. And there is a balance. We must find that balance. And let me be very clear. Shout out to all the men out there too. And I don't, you know, believe that if we celebrate some group of people or individuals, that means we have to then denigrate some other group. I think we can shout people out and that's all good. And also reminds me of one of my favorite principles, is which is like, acknowledge people for whatever struggle that they feel like they are going through, and try not to get into comparisons of pain, because this isn't a competition. And so shout out to Miss Martinez, who says she wants to make sure we shout out the men too, and I ain't mad at you. Daryl says we should get a half a year to celebrate surviving living under the orange guy. hey, there may be a national day of celebration after the 4 and/or 8 years of Donald Trump ends. And for those of you who said, how could I say 8 years? I'm just saying, with the exception of the older Bush, ever since Ronald Reagan, most presidents have gotten 2 terms. People forget George Bush didn't even win the popular vote in 2000, was a very unpopular president, and was able to get reelected. People forget Bill Clinton won with less than 50% of the popular vote during a time when he ran against the older Bush and Ross Perot. Very unpopular president, had the whole impeachment scandal and thing go on, and was very unpopular for a moment, and also got reelected. Obama, who most folks thought it was historic that an African-American could become president, and like, no way he's going to get a second term, and he did. So I say that all to say, Darryl, I hear you, and maybe we will celebrate the end of the Trump administration, but just know that that might not be in 2020. It might not be to 2024. We shall see. And Salim says, shout out to the ladies. I say shout out to the ladies, too. It's, you know, shout out to the ladies. Shout out to the ladies. Ladies night. Ladies month. Ladies day. And let's see. Also, Salim says he wants to shout out some folks like Harriet Tubman, Susan B. Anthony, Gloria Steinem, Angela Davis, Eleanor Roosevelt, Michelle Obama, Oprah Winfrey. And Madeline also says it is extremely hard to be a woman, especially if you have to play daddy, mommy, friend, and mentor, as well as being a good employer and just an overall all warm heart woman that have strong beliefs. We women are strong. Yeah, hey, this, like I said, it ain't easy. This show here is for underdogs. And, you know, for me, underdogs is this idea of someone who feels like they're in a situation where the odds are stacked against them to win, where they struggle. And for a lot of women, I say the word underdog and they go, yeah, they get it. And I get it too. And, you know, one of the things we do here is fight for underdogs to rediscover how special they are. And so special shout out to the women out there. And some of the ones you mentioned, Madeline, which are out there being more than just moms. They're being dads and they're being mentors, friends. They're doing it all. And they shouldn't have to, because support is a big deal for all of us, men and women. With that, give some shout outs. So, you know, Salim shouted some folks out. Madeline did. Dow did. I'm going to shout some people out too. And, you know, we talk politics here. So, of course, one of the folks I want to shout out is a politician, or was a politician.
But when you are a catalyst for change in any society, you have to be prepared to take the insults, the abuses, the misapprehensions, the skeptics, those who are not ready for change. You have to be prepared to take all of these kinds of situations that would immediately develop when you go against a tradition in this country.
I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am Black and proud. I am not the candidate of the women's movement of this country, although I am a woman, and I'm equally proud of that. I am not the candidate of any political bosses or fat cats or special interests.
For those who don't know who that was, and I'll pause for a second to see if anyone can guess who that was. I'll see if someone writes the name on the Facebook Live, but I'll give a description of the person before I reveal their name, and let's see if someone knows who that was. But the voice you just heard was that of an American politician. In 1968, the person you just heard became the first African-American congresswoman. In 1972, she became the first major party Black candidate to make a bid for the U.S. presidency. She represented New York in the House of Representatives for 7 terms. The main things she fought for were education opportunities, and social justice. And in 1969, she became one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus. I've gone to the Facebook Live. I've seen some folks who they've said who they think that was. And I will say, Salim, that you are correct. Let me go to the phone lines real quick, and then I will say the woman's name, and we will continue to shout out some folks for Women's History Month, because, you know, I like shouting out underdogs and appreciating folks. Name where you're calling from.
Deborah. Manhattan.
Deborah from Manhattan. Talk to me.
Robert Jordan.
Talk to me. How you doing?
Fine. That's Miss Jordan.
It is, and she's an awesome person too. Shirley Chisholm.
Okay.
Yeah, yep, but that's a good guess. Hey, we get to shout her out too.
Okay.
We get to shout them both out. Appreciate you. Bye, Deborah. And yes, that was, and shout out to Miss Jordan too. And that was Shirley Chisholm. 1968, she became the first African American congresswoman. Again, represented in the House. She was in the House of Representatives for 7 terms, representing part of New York. And she was, you know, 1972 became the first major party black candidate to make a bid for the presidency. So shout out to Shirley. And shout out to Salim. And shout out to Deborah for both making guesses and, you know, shouting out some folks that we owe a lot to. And actually, I'll read one Shirley quote that caught my attention. She said, "The emotional, sexual, and psychological stereotyping of females begins when the doctor says, 'It's a girl.'" And to me, that encapsulizes how challenging it can be to be a woman, that literally from day one, there's pressures and challenges that come from being a part of the society when you're female. Shout out to Shirley Chisholm, and shout out to Deborah and Salim for both guessing who it was, and shout out to Salim for on the Facebook Live saying Shirley. All right. One thing here, so since we're talking politics, before I move on to someone in the business realm, is one thing I learned too, you know, talk about words of wisdom you learn from women. One of my mentors used to always remind me this when talking about voting rights. And I remember one time I said to her, I was like, "Hey, I learned in school, like, you know, women got the right to vote in the 1920s and the suffrage movement. And like, man, you know, that's when women got the right to vote." And what she reminded me for context is that that is incomplete. That women in federal elections and having the right to vote in the United States actually didn't happen until the 1960s in the Voting Rights Act. And that is when all women in the United States were able to vote in federal elections. And so I'm just sharing with you something I learned, that sometimes we learn stuff in school and it's partly true, but it's incomplete. And so the better way to say it is that women got the right to vote in the 1960s, not the 1920s, although that's part of the timeline. It's not the total timeline. And then obviously, in terms of everyone getting the right to vote, the Voting Rights Act obviously was for African Americans, both men and women. And that is when in the 1960s that all Americans got the right to vote. How many people buy Pepsi? How many people have had some Doritos lately? If you have, this woman is actually the CEO of that company. And again, I'm not going to say the name. I'm going to play a clip, and then we're going to see who can guess who this woman is. This woman's history mom. We're going to celebrate them. First of all, celebrate my mom, because that's the most impactful woman in my history, in my life, that I want to celebrate. And then obviously we're going to expand it out beyond there. If you want to shout out your mom, shout out some of your aunties, some of the women in your life, shout them out. People love being acknowledged, especially while they're still here. All right, take a guess. Who's this? Business world. We talk politics. We talk culture. We talk personal development. And also, you know, I'm a businessman. I like to talk business sometimes too. Let's play this clip.
Now my 3 lessons I'd like to share with you. First, please be a lifelong student. You know, when we are kids, we ask questions like, why is the sky blue? Why is the bird flying so high? But for some reason, as we get older, that curiosity goes away. And if we are happy with the knowledge we have, then we are actually going to atrophy. So please remain a lifelong student. Don't lose that curiosity. Second, whatever you do, throw yourself into it. Throw your head, heart, and hands into it. I look at my job not as a job. I look at it as a calling, as a passion. And I don't care about the hours. I don't care about the hardship, because to me, everything is a joy. So whatever you do, please look upon it as a calling and a passion, not as a job, not as something temporary. The third and the most important one, please help others rise. Greatness comes not from a position, but from helping build the future. All of us in positions of power have an obligation to pull others up.
Can you guess who that was? It's Women's History Month, and all month long we're going to be shouting out women. And the person you just heard is the chief financial officer and president of PepsiCo. She's one of the top female executives in the U.S. She's one of only, I believe it's, the number escapes me, but literally about 5% to 6% of the CEOs of the Fortune 500, the top largest companies in the United States, only about 5% of them are headed up by women. And she is one of them that you just heard. She was born in India to a very conservative town. Her whole life, she was a bit of a rebel that did not follow social norms. She earned a few degrees in India, but still didn't feel like she had enough education. She decided to move to America and attend Yale. This was unheard of for a woman in India to do at the time. When she first got to America, she struggled financially. She would wear her sari everywhere because she could not afford any other clothes. In 1980, she finished her master's in public and private management at Yale, and she began as a chief deal maker at Pepsi. And she would eventually become CFO and then eventually become the CEO of Pepsi. Does anybody know who that is? A lot of y'all buying her products, eating them Doritos, sipping on some Pepsi. It's Women History Month. Let's shout out. She's one of the 5% of women who actually are the CEOs of a Fortune 500 company. Women make up over 50% or around 50% of the population, but only 5% of the folks that run our companies, or at least the big ones. Going once, going twice, three times. Shout out to Indra Nooyi, who is the CEO of PepsiCo here in the U.S. and one of the 5% of women who are CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. I said I was going to talk about CEOs, women, and security clearances. I'll tell you about the CEO piece in a second, but just bear with me because there's one more woman I want to shout out, at least in today's program, and then I have a question for you that I want you think about, which is, who makes a better CEO, a woman or a man? Who do you think makes a better CEO? And not your qualitative answer, not your subjective answer, not even potentially even bias or unbiased you may have, but based on like some actual stats. I got some stats. I looked up performance of companies run by women versus companies run by men. And there's actually some stats that show who is performing a little better than the other. Let me know your guess. A woman CEO or male CEO. And not that it's like, you know, us against them or them against us. Just perspective. You know, what do I say? Men lie, women lie. Stats don't. But even that's not true, because sometimes stats are misleading. But anyway, we'll get back to that. I want to do one more shout out, and then I'll answer the question about who makes a good CEO, a man, a woman, or both. Who's up next? Let's see if you can guess this person, this woman.
So what comes next in this conversation? I mean, how do you take it from a hashtag to the real work that has to be done?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I inserted myself, right? Because the work was already being done, and we want to we want to expand on that. I think what we've seen over the last month is mass disclosure across social media. And as much as that is empowering, it is also problematic in some ways. People don't have a way to process. People don't have a way to think about what happens after they disclose their experience with sexual violence. And so one of the things we want to do is really support survivors. We want to find ways to give resources to people in communities that don't have resources. And we also want to activate folks who are ready to do the work of ending sexual violence.
Does anyone know who that was? The woman that was just speaking about the Me Too movement and about how we get to really bring to light some of the sexual misconduct that has been happening, especially to women in our society, and that now there's a forum and a place for folks to say that out loud, but then also get whatever support that's needed, and also to bring to justice those who have committed these crimes. Let me know if you can guess who that woman was. She gets to be celebrated. In my opinion, doesn't get celebrated enough. And on top of that, she should have been on the Time cover. Time's Person of the Year were the Silence Breakers. And she, the woman you just heard, did not make the cover. And I believe that she should have. It's my humble opinion. And shout out to Salim, who says he had to look that one up, fam, which was the previous one, which was Indra Nooyi, who's the CEO of PepsiCo. Y'all sipping on those Pepsis, sipping on, eating those Doritos. Well, there's a woman who's running things over there, and she's one of the 5% of women CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. Shout out to all the women CEOs breaking barriers, busting through glass ceilings, as they call it. But the person I just played, talking about the Me Too movement, another woman I want to acknowledge. Time Magazine last year said the person of the year was the Silence Breakers. And to me, she should have been one of the women on the cover. Let me know if you know who that was who was speaking. And shout out to Salim, who says it. That was Tarana Burke, who is a civil rights activist that started the Me Too movement back in 2006. That's right, not 2017, 2006. Not 2017. Shout out to Alyssa Milano and some of the other folks. But shout out to Tarana Burke, who started the Me Too movement in 2006. In 2017, obviously, it became a global phenomenon that raised awareness about sexual harassment, abuse, and assault in society. She was included as one of the Silence Breakers in Time Magazine's issue about who was the person of the year. She grew up in the Bronx, shout out to New York. Throughout her childhood and teenage years, she was unfortunately sexually assaulted and raped. This fueled her passion for helping other women who have been through similar situations. And shout out to Ms. Burke and all the folks that have been fighting for women's rights and women's safety. To me, this discussion, this movement, is incomplete when we don't acknowledge folks like Tarana Burke, who started this movement that has really gained momentum, right? It's not a new topic, right? The sexual assault and stuff like that has been happening for a long time, but to actually get it in the front of us as opposed to going on in the background and in silence is a big, big deal. Shout out to Tarana Burke. All right. I want to play this poem just because it's my show, but also I just feel like it's a good moment to play this. And then I'll answer the question that I asked, which is like, who makes a better CEO, men, women, or it's a tie? Like, I'll answer the question. I want to hear your guesses. But first, shout out to this civil rights activist, author, and poet, and the first nonfiction bestseller ever published by an African-American woman. Let me see if you can guess who this is.
Many people wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. When I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand. or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need for my care, because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, all you women and me.
Who was that? Y'all better know who that was. And Miss Clark, who just called in while it was playing, said the name. So I'm going to shout Miss Clark out because she guessed who that was. I'll look over at the Facebook Live. The phone lines are open too. Let me know, who was that talking about phenomenal women? And yes, women are phenomenal. Name it, where you calling from.
Hi, it's Deborah. It wasn't you. It was me.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure. All right. Who was that?
Miss Angelou.
Yes, it was. Ding, 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 ding. Come on now. Doesn't she still just make you smile and just be grateful?
Everybody should know that.
Come on. Hey, and if they don't, now they know.
Exactly.
Hey, I appreciate you, Deborah.
Take care. Bye.
All right, now. And thank you, Miss Phenomenal Woman. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye now. That was Deborah from Manhattan calling in, letting us all know that that was Maya Angelou. And then also Miss Clark, who called in during while it was playing on the phone lines. And I appreciate her phone call. She also said it was Maya Angelou. And Deborah and Miss Clark are both correct. Man, I'm probably going to play that again before the show's over, just because I just love hearing Maya's voice, her intellect, come on now, she's phenomenal. Phenomenal woman. Let me answer the question, though. I said I was going to answer, who's better as a CEO, men or women? Or both? Well, let's go to the data. A Boston-based trading company did some research and looked at the performance of Fortune 1,000 companies, so the top 1,000 companies in the U.S., and looked to see of those 1,000 who had women CEOs, and about 80 of them had women CEOs from a time span of 2002 to 2014. And so what they looked at is the performance and the growth of those companies, those 80 companies that were run by women CEOs, and looked at how those 80 companies performed versus the overall stock market, which is also a somewhat, you know, indicator of how the overall market is doing. And so they use the S&P 500. And so the data looked at, if you had some money to invest, you could have invested in the broad market called the S&P 500. A lot of people trade their stocks and stuff there. A lot of us, if we have 401ks or in ETFs, a lot of times our money is in something that mirrors the S&P 500. And so the data looked at from 2012 to 2014, put your money in like all the best companies or the biggest ones, or put your money in just the 80 companies that were run by women during that time, 2002 to 2014. And what they found is that those 80 women CEOs, those companies, during those 12 years, produced returns of 226% better than that of the S&P 500 or that of a proxy of the market. And so what they found is that the reason why they thought this was the case is that most people believe that the result of a woman becoming a CEO, which is a challenge, is because of their hard work and their intellect, and that oftentimes someone who is a CEO and a woman is like truly, truly, truly has to be like the best of the best of the best to break through all the different hurdles and obstacles that it may take to become a CEO when you're a woman or if you're a person of color. And so that doesn't mean there aren't good men CEOs, right? But at least up until now, when the playing fields tilt more male than female, that when a woman does become CEO, she's a bad mamma jamma. She's a phenomenal woman because it took a lot to get there. And when they do get there, they show up and they show out 226% better than the market from 2002 to 2014. Get yourself a woman CEO. At least consider it. And not as like a plan B or not as a nice to have, but it might be the difference between where you are and taking yourself to the next level. And at the end of the day, we should always just pick the best candidate possible. However, diversity is hard. It's a challenge. We like to be with people who look like us, sound like us, do like us. But diversity over time has shown that you get a better mix of intellect, you get better decision making, and in the end, diverse teams, diverse companies end up being winners. And so even if you won't do it because it's the right thing to do, do it because you want to win. Shout out to all those women CEOs, both past and present. And shout out to folks who made a guess. I believe Salim made a guess online as to what he thought, and a couple others too. I'm going to take a quick break because I want to just take one more peek at the Facebook Live before we do the close of the show and see if I can get a couple more comments in. Shout out to Deborah and all the folks who called in. Also, shout out to Barry and shout out to Salim who mentioned this. Barry, we must be on the same wavelength sometimes, because how did you know I was going to talk about the Me Too movement and things like that? And early in the show, he was talking about what was going on with the Olympics and the scandal and the sexual misconduct of those teenage girls and young women who were part of the Olympics American team. And so shout out to Barry for just caring and having his heart in the right place and bringing that topic up even before I got to it, which I'm glad I got to it in the second hour. And yes, Nicole, I hear you on the check, and she goes, why didn't I play more Ladies Night? And I only played a little snippet because, you know, there's copyright rules and things like that. And the Facebook Live, they get touchy-feely about playing some copyrighted music. So I had to chill out on that. Just only could play like a snippet. Could only do a little like this. Just ooh, and then I had to shut it off. Ooh, then shut it off. Shout out to all the folks checking in. And everyone was on it. I saw Nicole, Daryl, Celine, Madeline all say that that was Maya Angelou that I played earlier. Phenomenal woman. It's a month that we shouting out phenomenal women. And also during the break, I got a phone call from a gentleman who said the woman of the century is that of the woman of the century is Angela Harding, who is the program director here at WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. She's the general manager here too. And Angela, he says that you'll know who it is. So you have someone who believes that you are the woman of the century, and he says you know who's talking about you and saying all those great things about you. Shout out to Angela and Tina, the phenomenal women that make things rock and roll here at WHCR 90.3 FM, voice of Harlem. And shout out to all those who checked in today. Man, I'm running out of time. And Salim says, Miss Mayer, who was the former CEO or CEO of Yahoo, is the outlier. But he says overall, he agrees that women CEOs normally do show up and show out when given the chance. And shout out to Miss Martinez, who says amazing stuff. And Madeline also says, give it up for Angela Harding, who I do. I wouldn't be here at the station without Angela. So I'm grateful for her and grateful for you guys. Time for the big finish to the show. Ooh, and I don't have much time, so let me wrap this up. Thank you to all the underdogs for listening to the show, to all the callers, for all the folks on the Facebook Live. Also, shout out to the team that makes stuff happen behind the scenes. My producer, Megan, who makes sure I has the audio clips and has all the info and facts so I can come on here and sound somewhat like I know what I'm talking about. And shout out to Kayla, who makes the podcast possible and also the video show possible, which will be out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this coming week. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Google Play, all the places you love to listen to podcasts. And shout out to you for downloading the show. We are in the top 100 of podcasts and society and culture on Podomatic, and that is because of you. And lastly, just to close out the show, just remember, you can talk about Jared Kushner all you want and him getting downgraded with his security clearance, but who in your life should be downgraded? Think about it. It's that time of year. Not everybody should have top secret access to what's going on in your world. Make sure you figure out who should have clearance and who shouldn't. Also, get some women in your life if you don't have them. Diversity is not just the right thing, but it's a good thing for all of us. And so shout out to all the women who've come from the past and those who have helped us in the present and those that will help us in the future. It's Women's History Month. And so not just today, but throughout the month, we will acknowledge and celebrate women who make things happen and show up and show out. With that, you know how I end the show. If you've watched this show before, you know what I'm about to say here. We're about to get to this ending. And I'm going to end it with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.